Sexual assault, substance abuse, and hazing. Any one of those appearing on a college student's record would be a serious problem. They all appear on a report about issues within the Greek system, the sorority and fraternity system at the University of Oregon. The U of O ordered an external review of the system to put its own earlier findings in greater perspective. The external review reached administration hands in April, and there's clearly work ahead. Dr. Robin Holmes is the Vice President of Student Life at the University of Oregon and our guest on The Exchange. Dr. Holmes, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Jeffrey.
Give us an idea, if you would, about what the university did on its own before seeking the external review.
Well, we conducted a review internally when we had the hiring of a new fraternity and sorority life director. We really wanted to get a sense of where we were compared to our peers, what type of infrastructure or support we might need, and what the goals were going to be going forward. So that internal review happened a year or two before the external review, as well as, you know, meeting with students and trying to understand what they needed in order to have the best type of community we could possibly provide.
So when you talk about comparisons with peers, you checked with other universities with Greek systems and made some comparisons?
Yeah, that's correct, especially around staffing. Usually you would want to see one staff member for every 1,000 to 1,500 students. Our fraternity and sorority life community had grown to almost 4,000, and we only had one staff member. We added a second, but we still felt that in order for us to accomplish the goals that we have for our students, for them to have the best experience, and to really shape the type of culture that was needed, we really need to come in line with what would be expected.
Well, let's talk about that growth in the Greek system then. Has it been fairly precipitous at the U of O?
You know, nationally, Greek organizations have just been growing by leaps and bounds. U of O is no different in that way. It's definitely been, over the last couple of years, one of our more popular student activities to participate in. And so our growth has been about 16% over that same 3 to 4 year period. So it's been pretty steady, and we expect that it's probably hit somewhat of a peak, both nationally and on our campus. But yes, it's definitely been very, very popular and rapid growth.
What were some of the behaviors or trends in behavior that were of greatest concern to the university even before the external review?
Well, you know, mainly it was the fact that the chapter sizes themselves are so large, and that was kind of an unintended consequence of the popularity of the activity, as well as the, you know, pressure from the national organizations that govern the fraternities and sorority to make sure that they have students in their houses and participating in their organizations. And so as we were looking at that and thinking about that, we were really noticing that the focus on values and values formation, getting them connected to alumni, career opportunities, philanthropy, those things were present, but they weren't on center stage. What was on center stage, what seemed to be more of the social activities, and sometimes those social activities can lead to some of the negative consequences, negative activities that were highlighted in the report, and that really concerned us.
Let's talk about who did the report. How was the external review accomplished?
Our director of fraternity and sorority life, Justin Shukas, kind of did a review of various individuals who have a lot of professional experience both in fraternity and sorority life and on university campuses. And he interviewed several individuals and decided on these two. One of the individuals works at a college campus here in the Pacific Northwest and has responsibility for fraternity and sorority life, among other departments himself, and has also been involved in Greek life personally. And the other individual has some connection to national organizations. And so we asked those individuals to come at our request. We charged them with certain activities and things we wanted them to look at and asked them to write a report. They talked with lots of students, lots of staff and faculty to gather as much information as they possibly could. And I think it's important and healthy for the university to take a strong look at our various programs and services to make sure that they're accomplishing the goals that we want.
Dr. Robin Holmes is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. She's the Vice President of Student Life at the University of Oregon, and we're talking about the report that came out in April, an external review of the Greek system, the fraternity and sorority system at the University of Oregon. You can join this discussion at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. From the release that accompanied the report, it sounds like there were no particular surprises from the external review.
No, there really wasn't surprises, but it's always good to confirm what you think might be going on and to get as much information as you possibly can so that as you go and you talk to students and parents and alums, you're basing that on facts or outside information. And so I think it really helped us to launch into where we are right now, which is taking a very hard look and implementing important recommendations so that we can improve the overall experience for our students.
Well, now, some of the behaviors of greatest concern, particularly sexual assault and substance abuse, are often cited on college campuses as general concerns. I mean, is the prevalence any greater within the Greek system?
It tends to be greater in the Greek system, mainly because that particular group of students have more opportunities to have parties and to participate in some of the higher risk behaviors that sometimes are associated with sexual assault. But it's a concern for us regardless of the group or the activity. And so we're definitely taking a very, very thoughtful and hard look at all the ways in which we can prevent sexual assault on our campus. It's very, very important to the university and to our students. And that's no different with Fraternity and Sorority Life or any of our other groups.
This is probably a good moment to just take a little pause and get us acquainted with the kind of, well, for lack of a better term, adult supervision. I mean, the students are adults themselves, obviously, by now. But if you live in a dormitory, for example, you're going to have resident assistants and that sort of staffing, keeping an eye on things. What is the comparison between what the situation is in dormitories, for example, and what you get in a Greek house?
Well, that really is the challenge, Jeffrey, and it's a nice analogy that you're bringing up. We go through great pains to have quite a bit of supervision in our residence halls because we have young people who are living on their own for the first time, and they're trying to build skills and knowledge and also acclimate to school and lots of different things going on at that time. When they leave the residence halls and move into a fraternity or sorority house, for example, it really is kind of hit or miss the type of adult supervision they have. Our fraternity and sorority houses are privately owned. They're not owned by the university. We don't run those houses. And so they're run by their national organizations. And so you may have a house that has a lot of advisors and folks who are providing supervision and support, and you could have a house that has very little. It's really, really hit and miss, and that's part of the challenge and something that we are looking at with our various working committees who are looking at the recommendations from the external report, how we can kind of make that a little bit more consistent across those various houses, given the challenge that we don't own them or have really the responsibility for them.
Okay, a couple of parts of the report do indeed jump out on that line, and one is this quote about FS, that's fraternity and sorority leaders, report being all consumed with behavioral issues and ill-equipped to effectively control high-risk behavior among their chapter members. And there are similar notes about the student perception that the problems are theirs by creation and theirs alone to solve, but they feel ill-equipped to do so. So is the university's position on where the responsibility lies evolving here?
Well, I mean, clearly, as you mentioned, they are adults and they have to be accountable. And part of them becoming adults is figuring out how to be responsible for yourself and be good citizens. All those things are very, very true. And so when they mention that their problems have to be solved by them, I think that they're absolutely right about that. But I think you and I both know that young adults still need help and guidance and support along the way. And so they're not necessarily ready to solve all of those problems alone. And that's, I think, where we come in. That's where some of our help and guidance and support can be really, really critical. And that's the reason why we are going to be increasing our staffing and making sure that we can provide them with much more support and encouraging their national chapters to provide more support at their houses as well.
Robin Holmes is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, Vice President of Student Life at the University of Oregon. We're talking about the scrutiny of the Greek system, the fraternity and sorority system at the U of O. If you have some questions, comments, or perhaps some experiences of your own from the Greek system in college, join us on the Exchange at 800-838-3760 on the phone. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Let's talk about the staffing levels, because you mentioned that optimally you want to have one staff or two every 1,000 or 1,500 students. And I think the last thing you said was you have about two people now?
That's correct.
Uh-huh. So, and with a Greek system of about 4,000 people, you need about double that staff, it sounds like.
Yeah, that's exactly right, and that's what we're going to actually do. One of the first things we're planning on is to increase our staffing beginning for next year. We have four committees right now that are giving us recommendations. One of those committees has to do with staffing support and budget, and I'm awaiting a report from that committee by the end of this month, where I fully expect we'll have some good information about not only the staffing size, but actually what those staff members will be able to accomplish. So I'm pretty excited about that, and I think it'll be very helpful going forward.
So what will the staff members do, and where and when, I guess? I mean, because, you know, if you have somebody working a Monday, Friday, 9-to-5 kind of job, these are not necessarily the times when things go wrong at fraternities and sororities or any place else on campus, for that matter.
Well, you know, staff that work in the Division of Student Life probably don't see their jobs as Monday through Friday, 9-to-5, because as you mentioned, things happen outside of those hours. So we are used to responding when we need to respond. But more importantly, because students really do need to work and become independent adults, we want to infuse enough values and enough competencies into our student body that they don't need us to be around all the time to make the right decisions. And so one of the things that we talk about all the time is what does a values-based fraternity and sorority life organization look like? And so your staff can help the students to craft those types of values, to make sure that you have something that we call endorsement standards, so they know exactly where the accountability is, what they're supposed to be working toward, and how they can get there. And hopefully, when they're on their own doing the things that they're doing as students, they're going to remember that, and those values are going to stay in place, and it'll help them make good decisions, not only for themselves, but for their whole community. So that's what you work to do.
The specific behaviors of concern are obviously sexual assault is number one, but in addition to the assaults themselves, there's the issue of the reporting of them and some pressure apparently within the Greek system that is perceived. What's going on there?
Well, I think that, again, getting back down to that concept of values and also that we're talking about young people, I think there's a fear that if they say something, then they're brother or sister within the fraternity and sorority might get in trouble, or that fraternity and sorority might be expelled from the campus. So they're thinking about the negative consequences that might happen as opposed to the importance of keeping everybody safe. And so, again, you have to really work hard to help them think through that from a perspective of, you know, what's the most important thing when something like this happens. And so I really do think we have ways that we can continue to make a difference in that arena. And when you talk with students, they want that help. They do feel overwhelmed. And that gets back to that chapter growth size where they want to know who their members are. They want to interact with them. They want to make sure that they're doing what they need to do to build a positive culture. And that's really hard when you have 200 people that you're responsible for.
I was going to ask for a little history here. And Joe in Talent has asked the same question in an email, pointing out that issues with the Greek system at colleges dates back to the first time the two got into bed together. My dad talked about it from his days in the 50s. I experienced it during the 70s, and my daughter is dealing with it now. At U of O, from my experience, Joe writes, colleges continually talk around the problems, fund expensive surveys, hire expensive consultants, and nothing much changes. So, I mean, obviously there are issues, binge drinking, sexual assault, all these things sort of have come up through the years. Can you really eliminate these on campus, particularly in the Greek system?
Well, I mean, I hear the writer's frustration in that, and I think it's understandable. It doesn't appear that things are necessarily changing, and these kind of issues have been going on forever, and not to in any way excuse them, but they've been going on, binge drinking, underage drinking, high-risk behaviors have been happening on college campuses in every single group for millennia. So I understand that, and there haven't been a lot of things that have impacted that. As a society, we definitely have an issue. Why is it that we have young people who are putting themselves in harm's way in this way? Why is it that they're turning toward even more potent and even more concerning drugs? That's very concerning to all of us, and should be.
Dr. Holmes, have there been sanctions already? Any restrictions on houses, removal of charters, restrictions on growth, anything like that so far?
Sure. And, you know, any time that there's a violation of the student conduct code or the expectations for our fraternities and sorority life, we react rapidly and we take whatever course of action we need to take. And we've done that this year and in years past as well. We also have currently a moratorium on growth. And the reason why we did that is because we were really concerned about the staffing issue. We were really concerned what students were saying is that we have too many students in our in our chapter houses, we really can't control this. And so we're slowing that down. We're talking to the national chapters to help us to slow that down until we get the proper staffing into place. And so those are some of the things that we've done to address the growth. And then we also have, as I mentioned, those committees. We have a committee on chapter size growth and recruitment policies. And at the end of the month, I'm looking forward to the recommendations that that group's going to make regarding growth.
All right, we have a couple minutes left and a question here from Connie in Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Dr. Robin Holmes, Vice President of Student Life at the U of O.
Good morning. My concern as a resident here in Eugene is that many years ago the university moved the party situation and the liabilities of the party, seemingly, from no party policy on campus, on the campus sorority fraternities, and we had an influx of party houses into the neighborhood. And this has continued to be a problem. And I wondered how if the university is going to accelerate its responsibility for the behavior that takes place at these party houses, many of which have members of the fraternities and sororities.
All right. Thanks for the question, Connie. Appreciate it.
Well, I think what the caller is referring to is that many years ago we decided that the fraternity and sorority life houses, which I would again remind are not the property of the University of Oregon. They're not on University of Oregon property itself, and they're not owned by the University of Oregon. But we do have some control over the students and the students' behaviors in those houses, and so it was decided that the houses themselves needed to be dry because they have students who are underage in the house. And so it seemed very irresponsible to not have a policy of being dry, which is very common across the country. When that happened, it is true that some of the older students who are part of Fraternity and Sorority Life now are in what we call live-out houses, 5 to 7 students in a house, and some of the biggest parties end up happening in those areas. But we have been partnering with the City of Eugene and the Eugene Police Department to try to patrol and to respond as quickly as we can. We partnered with the city when the ordinance was passed, the social host ordinance, which takes action when there are large parties, and we'll continue to do that. We're looking at a party registration program so that we can hold people accountable when parties get out of control, and working with the Eugene Police Department. So we're going to keep looking at those issues, and we're concerned about that as well for the neighborhood and for the safety of our students and the folks in that area.
I want to ask you, too, about the incident at Shasta Lake. We have listeners in Redding as well as in Eugene, stretched all along the corridor between. What has become of any discipline to the University of Oregon students for the trash created during that weekend at Lake Shasta last month?
Well, you know, the Shasta event was not an event that was sanctioned by the university. It was disgraceful and incredibly problematic. We do not know which of our 4,000 fraternity members or 20,000 students were involved in that. We do know there's lots of evidence to suggest that there were University of Oregon students who were there, about 1,000 of them. We have no way of knowing who those students are. And so we have followed up on whatever information that we've received that gave us more information about who was involved. But it's very difficult to hold 24,000 students accountable for something when you don't know who those students actually were. I am happy to report that the entire Fraternity and Sorority Life community has stepped up. They've taken responsibility for the terrible action that some of them took. They've apologized. They've gone down there and done cleanup. They've volunteered in the community. They're making plans to make sure that that volunteer environmental work continues even after this year. And I think that they've really learned a lesson that I hope that they will think about next year, because our school and other schools will most likely be in the Shasta area for years to come.
No doubt. Okay, we'll keep an eye on that, and we'll keep up with the university about the changes coming to the Greek system. Dr. Robin Holmes is Vice President of Student Life at the University of Oregon. Thank you so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you, Jeffrey.
Very much a pleasure.